Welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, we are in Richmond Park with a gentleman who is a familiar face on our screens. He's a powerhouse within broadcasting, from anchoring morning TV for over two decades to hosting a multitude of game shows across both sport and entertainment, from Tipping Point to Ninja Warrior. He's a family man, a true gentleman, and an expert in his field. It's Ben Shepherd.
Oh, thanks, Ames.
How are you, Ben?
No one does introductions like you do.
You know what? The Mile solidly is becoming renowned for its introductions. We do like to welcome our guests.
Well, you do it beautifully. Thank you.
How are you? Straight off the motorbike from gig to gig to gig.
Life is about being efficient, I think. So I came off air at about, we finished late today, about 1 o'clock. And then I had a meeting over lunch about a new exciting thing that I'm going to hopefully be doing with Cammy soon.
Oh, cool.
Which would be really cool. And then jumped on the bike, get back here. Time to catch up and have a lovely walk with you.
Brilliant.
Before I then go and meet somebody else to talk about some other stuff. But to be honest, it's a beautiful day. Love what I do. Can't really call it work. It's just fun.
It's an absolute win when you love what you do.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot less like work. So really grateful to have this time and also for you to come on the podcast for the second time.
Yeah.
So you were actually on the first ever series of Monday Mile. You were episode 10, I checked last night.
Nice.
And we are on season 15.
What?
Now, quite a lot has changed since then,
yes.
Ben, including the time at which you wake up.
Gosh, you're not wrong. That's been quite a dramatic change, actually. I loved doing the breakfast show. I loved working with the team. And I never really had an issue with getting up at 3:30. I never really, you know, you just get on with it.
That is the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That's when people go home.
And actually, when people go home, it's when you go home. No, it's not when I'm much older than you. That's not when I go home.
I don't believe that for a second. But, you have energy, Ben.
But even now, so my alarm goes off at sort of 6:30 now. And even if I've had less sleep, I still wake up with a smile on my face thinking I've still had 3 hours more sleep than I would have had. I don't think I'm ever going to get past actually how great that feels, having a bit more sleep and knowing I'm going to go in working with Kat and the team on this morning and relishing that as a challenge and an opportunity as well.
Was obviously the opportunity, of course, to transition over to this morning. Was there also a choice when it came to your own health as well? Because surely you cannot maintain that 3:30 a.m. alarm for a sustained period of time. So it just can't be good for you.
I've worked quite a lot with Nick Ferrari now, who comes into this morning and is absolutely fantastic. And he's done the LBC breakfast show for way longer than I ever did the ITV breakfast show. And I think there's something extraordinary about that time of day to broadcast. It feels very intimate. You're waking people up and it's very addictive. It's a really visceral feeling. You're breaking the news to people. It's a really intimate time of day to be broadcasting and you can really enjoy it and love it. So he did it for way longer than I did. So some people can keep going and do thrive on it. I know personally that I have benefited massively from having a bit more time and it not dictating everything. Much as I loved it, it was time for a new challenge and this great opportunity presented itself. And I would agree that in a way that I had never expected, because I never measured how I was feeling health-wise, mental yeah. well-being-wise, relative to my job, because I loved the job. But there has been a shift in balance because I just have a bit more time now. And as a family, or as me and Annie, well, the boys are much older, but me and Annie can go off and do stuff together now in the evenings and not worry too much. There's never that urgency. I used to get a little bit itchy if it got to sort of 9 o'clock and I wasn't near home.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh, I've got to go to bed, I've got to, whatever. That doesn't really have to happen now. Still got this opportunity to enjoy a few more things a little bit later on in the evening.
Kind of regained evening time with your wife or for social physical recreation.
Recalibrated, I think, might be a better way of describing it, and just sort of getting a sense of second spring. The boys are at a different age as well, Amy. So when I started on breakfast telly, it was before we had the boys. We had Sam and Jack in 2005 and 2007, and then I stopped doing breakfast in 2010, had a few years off, then went back in 2014 for another 10 years. And the boys are now 18 and 19. So, you know, they kind of look after themselves. So, and Annie and I are certainly entering that next phase of our lives. What happens when you've been parents and she's been a mum? What do you do next? And how do you approach that part of your life? I'm really excited about it. It's coincided with the shift in my work pattern. which I'm loving. And also it's coincided with her work as a garden designer, interior designer, really blossoming as well. So yeah, the next stage is us about sort of having an adventure together, which is quite exciting, and working out where we want to go and what we want to do.
And where you want to go, is that involving exciting travels and holidays, or contentment being at home and just having that time?
We've always been quite adventurous with where we've gone and what we've done and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's more about understanding what the future holds. When you become parents, everything is about the kids.
Yeah.
And still things are dictated by them, but they're so much more independent now. One of them's about to go skiing with the university ski, whatever it is, in which you'd love, in the Les Alpes. I think there's 700 of them going to Les Alpes. If you're going to Les Alpes in the next couple of weeks, just steer clear.
See, yeah, stay away.
He's going to be descended on by all these students. The other one is away with some friends. He's got his A-levels coming up. He's going to go travelling and exploring the world. We really do need to sort of start focusing a little bit more on us, what we're doing, what the next, I don't know, few decades look like for us personally and professionally, as the boys sort of gain their independence and their confidence.
Flee the nest.
And flee the nest, yeah.
That's a really exciting place to be, and I suppose quite fitting with your approach into the new year with being fit at 50.
Yeah.
Big turning point, Ben, but also a really positive landmark in the way in which you strive towards that age. I loved seeing
you
speak about that.
It's funny because, you know me, we've trained together. I love training with you because you've got such a passion for life and exploration and curiosity in terms of physical challenges and stuff. And you're so much younger than me, but you just remind me of what it's like to feel, you know, to make the most of every opportunity. And I love that. As I was approaching my 50th, which I've never really been that fussed about birthdays. Birthdays were never a really big thing when I was growing up. Not for any particular reason. We just didn't make a big deal out of them. Turning 30, I'd suddenly become a dad. Turning 40, the boys were still everything. I wasn't worried about those, but suddenly turning 50 felt like a really important moment. It sort of had a bit more gravity to it than any of the other big birthdays before that. So I wanted to try and do something to measure it, to mark it. And I just sort of put it out there on Instagram to say, look, I'm going to try and do this thing to see if I can get as fit at my 50th birthday as I was in my late 30s. I did a men's health front cover shoot. I had metrics which I could measure myself. Could I get to the same weight? Could I get to the same lean muscle? Could I get to the same body fat? Just as a means of measuring, because I like training. You know I like training. I've always liked training. And could I do it? Because so many of my friends that I've grown up with, we used to play football and rugby and all those sorts of things. And you get a little bit later in life and everyone talks about, oh, it's really difficult and you can't get into the shape that you were in back in your 30s. And we all took it for granted.
Is that true?
What I proved to myself, certainly, if you are disciplined and consistent, you absolutely can. Because I did. What was really exciting, did another shoot for Men's Health, which is going to come out in a few months. So I was able to, from a metric perspective, and the only reason that's important is because I was able to sort of write down some bits and say, did I get to that body fat? Did I get to that lean muscle? I absolutely measured up, which was brilliant and very satisfying.
Ben, that's unreal. To have a target that you can go back to.
Yeah.
I think that's also a really important marker. So say for someone like myself, maybe that's something that I should do now. Maybe give me a couple months. I've been traveling quite a lot recently on a lot of planes. And then do again, say, in 15 years' time.
For sure. But you will have, because, I mean, you've competed at Olympic level. You've competed at elite level sport. I never had that gauge. But you will know what you can and can't do. And I was able to set that standard for myself. But the thing I never expected, Amy, and we've talked about mental health and exercise being important for my mental health in the past, all those series ago. What I never expected was actually to really value and suddenly appreciate the process and the journey I went on for my Fit at 50, which is carrying on. I'm in my 50th year and I'm not going to stop. And I've kept up with the nutrition and the exercise because I'm loving it, was just how much I would benefit from it psychologically and mentally. Like, I knew it was an important part of my life, but that part of the journey has been so much more rewarding than I thought it was. I thought it was all about, can I get down to single figures body fat? Can I build my lean muscle? I thought that was what I was going to get the most from. That was going to give me the most satisfaction, but it wasn't. That was great. I mean, it's a byproduct. The bit that I really, really took so much from was the journey. It was getting out there doing it. It was pushing myself. It was making myself uncomfortable. It was achieving some stuff. It was failing at some stuff. And then it was the engagement I got from people who were following the journey online, who were inspired by it, setting me challenges, wanted to get involved with it, set themselves fit at 30s or fit at 40s. A friend of mine, Andy, who's out in Australia, set himself up getting fit at 60.
Go on.
You know, and suddenly that gathered a bit of momentum. And then you create this sort of little movement and you kind of think, I get massively inspired by looking at people online and by seeing my friends pushing themselves and doing things. Like, we're in this beautiful park now and I see people cycling and running all the time. And whenever I see them, it just makes me want to go out and do something.
Yeah.
And I think I gravitate. Lots of my friends that are just sort of starting back on a fitness journey or just doing a little bit here and there and they're just getting back into it, they're going, oh, but it's really easy for you, Ben. I said, it's not.
It's not easy for anyone.
No. I think it's always a battle. Getting my trainers on and getting out the door is always the hardest thing. It's just once you've gone, I'm a bit better at going, I know how I'll feel the other side of it.
And that's based on purely experience.
Absolutely.
If you've been there, you've got that
totally.
Base. But it's very, very easy to slip off the wagon.
All the time.
How have you managed to continue through your 50th, you're into your 50th year, and stick to it? What is the motivation?
Firstly, holding myself accountable just with regards to putting it out there was a big thing.
that's so bold.
Suddenly saying that you're going to do it, you've got to then do it. So it's not just now about me saying, I'm going to do this to myself in the bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand there and look on the scales and go, oh, I've been weighing too much. It's actually saying, right, I'm going to tell the people that are following me, the people that I communicate with online, which I really enjoy. What I'm saying to them is, I'm going to go and do this. And then suddenly you've got to hold yourself accountable. So being accountable is a massive thing. Setting yourself a goal, I'm really goal orientated, always have been. Setting yourself a goal is a really, really good thing for me personally. And then I gathered a lot of, I think one of the things that really helped was the consistency of turning up, even when I really didn't want to, was really addictive. And I really started enjoying because I started really thriving and feeling euphoric about the fact that on those occasions when I was really shattered, wasn't up for it, whatever, going and doing something, even if it was the smallest thing, I just felt like I was in control of my what I was choosing to do or not. I wasn't letting the little voices in your head control me and go, oh, just have a little rest. You can't be bothered to do anything today. Don't worry. Do it tomorrow. Because every time you do battle that and you prove to that little voice that you can do it regardless, I think it's a little win.
Oh, massive win.
And you know, we keep ourselves fit. We really enjoy it. We really thrive on it. But we still have those little voices.
Without a doubt.
You know?
I definitely have the little voice. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I do half a mile more? Maybe 2 miles more? Should I eat that? No, I shouldn't. You know, there's the... I think everyone has a constant battle, but I think people often look at those that say love it. Like I would say, I love to move. It makes me feel good mentally more than anything. And I really significantly notice a change in my day if I have or haven't done it. If I haven't done it, I'm not a great person to be around.
Interesting.
So that's my time for me, and it serves me. It's a controllable, right? And that's what you're saying when it comes to deciding to take action and stick to something. It's not easy at all, but then it makes the victory sweeter at the other side.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I think there's a constant thing in my head. One of the challenges for me is that the boys are 18 and 19. I want to stay fit and healthy. I want to be able to train with them.
You've got to keep up with them.
I want to keep up with them.
Can you keep up with them now?
Yeah, at the moment I can. But the other thing I'm thinking is 20 years time, 25 years time, you know, and if it's the right thing and there's grandkids, I want to be able to run around with them. I want to be fit and healthy for them. I want to be able to make the most of that opportunity. I see my mum and dad now and how full of life they are. And I kind of figure that they're a great blueprint for what it is that I would like to be able to do.
That's inspirational.
Yeah.
Have that to look at.
Totally. And make, you know, knowing that making memories is absolutely everything. So as much as I don't want to go and do something because I'm tired or been working really hard or I really want to eat that or I really want to do that, understanding that I can do those things if I'm willing to work hard down the line for whatever it is, because I want to be able to jump around for another 20, 30 years as much as I can, Amy. That sits there in the back of my mind. I think, you know, you turn 50 and I sort of, the 30s and the 40s, you kind of take everything for granted. You take everything for granted. It's kind of there, right?
That's kind of scary to hear though, because I'm 33 and physically I feel pretty capable.
Yeah,
without a doubt. Like I get up in the morning and my back like cracks and I've smashed myself snowboarding. Yeah, if it gets harder.
But you know what it is though as well though, the great thing now is, you know, we are 50 and I think that
50 is younger.
Are we the first sort of generation of people that are, well, I know that I was listening to a couple of really interesting podcasts where women are talking about maybe it's the first generation of women who are hitting their 50s and changing their careers after having a family and still young and still thriving and still flourishing and still got so much to give. You're 30 now. And what you will do, because you're curious and you want to stay active and that's such an important part of your life, is you start adapting what you're doing to make sure that you'd never have to slow down. Yeah. And you shouldn't have to slow down. You just sort of tweak things a little bit.
Longevity is the key, isn't it? With the occasional opportunity to totally thrash yourself just for the pure glutton of the feeling of...
Whether that's physically thrash yourself, or in the pub thrash yourself, or with your friends thrash yourself, or in the sea thrash yourself. I'm sort of pretty extreme. I love doing lots of things to excess. I really enjoy it. And you can do the one thing a load if you do the other thing really hard as well. So if you train hard, you look after yourself and work hard, it means you can go and do the other stuff without feeling too guilty.
Yeah, totally.
But everything has a consequence. So as long as I understand the consequences of this,
yeah,
I can carry on. And if the consequences are too much to bear, I've got very good at going, I'm not going to be able to cope too well with that, so I'm going to draw a line. And I never had that before. That's something that's come with age and experience, is really appreciating that this might have a... I was always really great from a very young age at going, if I'm going to go and massively overindulge, I'm not going to let it interfere with what I'm doing the next day.
Okay, interesting. And indulge in what capacity?
So alcohol, food, whatever it was. If I was going to have a really big day and really big session with my friends, I would refuse to let it bother me the next day. I was absolutely adamant. And if it did, that was me going, okay, I can't carry on this way because it's affecting living.
So then you just can't do it.
Yeah.
Or to that degree.
Totally. You know, lots of my friends used to say, how did you used to get up the day after we'd had a big session and carry on? Because I refused to let myself think that that was going to govern how I was living. And if it did start having that sort of impact, I needed to rein back on it, because the living bit was much more fun. The living bit was much more important. And then having kids changes everything, because you kind of go, they didn't choose to come here. We choose to have them. I want to make the most of being around them. And now they've gone. And now it's about sort of going, I think from my perspective, now it's about going, you know, what sort of checks do I want to be able to cash in 20 years time? Okay, so if I go and do that, what's that going to mean? So more stretching, more Pilates. As much as we love our boxing, yep, as much as we love our spinning, as much as I love my weight training, high rocks, whatever it is, pushing myself, I need to adapt as well, because my body needs to be looked after at the same time.
And when it comes to the physical goals that you set yourself, were they ones that you were able to like manage and tweak when you were reaching Fit 50, or was that an all-out approach to hitting those targets?
They were definitely tweaked along the way. There were certain challenges that were set by different people that, you know, I had to work at in stages.
Yeah.
But also appreciating whatever those challenges were. Some people set me to do 50 burpees, some 50 push-ups, 50 whatever it is.
The pull-ups was the most ridiculous.
Yeah, and that was my eldest son, said do 50 pull-ups.
And what can he do 50 pull-ups?
No, he can't do 50 pull-ups.
I don't know anyone.
No, no, no.
I don't think that can do 50 pull-ups.
So, and when I did the 50 pull-ups,
I don't know anyone, but I did.
But we didn't do it in one go. Like I did it in, I had to break it down and do it in, say, 15, 15,
okay,
10, 5, you know, yeah. And I did it over a period, but I banged out 50 pull-ups, but I couldn't do that at the start of the Fit 50, because I knew the consequences of trying to do that could be sort of pretty serious. I would have hurt myself or whatever. So
torn, traps,
something
bulging.
Injuries. And injuries happen more significantly now than they ever did. So I think that I ended up working up to it and then doing it. And that was incredibly satisfying, sort of doing it. But there was a couple of other challenges that I was set that I haven't been able to do yet, but I will at some point do them. One of Sam's mates challenged me to do 50 muscle-ups, which of course is... So as I explained to him, because he can't do one.
Okay.
Trying to do 50 muscle-ups would be madness. So how about we do 5 muscle-ups, one for each decade. You have to train up for your muscle-ups. That's still one that I've got to deliver.
Yeah.
For Jack's mate Gabe, he said that to me.
And when's your cutoff? Is it the end of the birthday year?
I don't think there is a cutoff. Yeah, I just think it's sort of...
It's progressive.
Just, yeah, and filter it into life aims, filter it into what I love doing. Having it as a lovely challenge along the way, something I can really enjoy and share.
That's such a healthy relationship to have with a goal as well. And I think so often in life, we set ourselves goals that just are not achievable at all. And I think time is your biggest friend when it comes to actually achieving something and being flexible within that goal.
Undoubtedly. And also, because you learn so much about yourself along the way. Like I said, I have valued much more than I thought the sort of the mental and emotional sort of experience of what it's been like, and the impact it's had beyond that, the sort of the community that it's created. And if that creates and gathers a bit of momentum as well, that's amazing. And I don't want to let go of that. It keeps me wanting to push myself. It keeps me wanting to try new things. The other thing is I've just always, you know, maybe it's the ADHD in me, I love being pushed and trying new things. I'm always on to the next thing. And that's something that's come about from this as well, is finding new ways of challenging myself physically, seeing if I can achieve those goals.
Such an incredible space to be, chasing your own evolution, essentially. Yeah. Because so many people do just get stale, and the word I like to use is soggy. So when I finished snowboarding, I was kind of in that moment, done with like chasing something new.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm in this place where my eyes are open and I want to learn, whether it's boxing, different movement patterns, and also just looking after your body in a different way, not just smashing it. So the yoga, for example, has been a huge, huge tool of mine, both mentally and physically, keeping my body intact so I can have fun doing stuff. Because it's fun when you're learning.
I agree. Again, that's that curious part of your life, isn't it? I've always been curious. You know what you're like. You always message me and you go, Ben, I'm going to do some training. Do you want to come? I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Let me try and make it work in my diary. I'm the first person to say yes to someone saying physically, should we go and do something?
Do you think that's a gift?
Sometimes I think it's a bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because it means I'm on my own. I'm rubbish at being on my own. And I always want to be around people and want company and stuff like that.
I might be very similar to that.
So you seek out people to play with or people to run around with or people to have fun with as a distraction. I'm rubbish with my own thoughts. That's something that I sort of have to contemplate a bit more now as I'm getting a bit older. It's like actually being comfortable just being on my own and letting my thoughts ruminate.
So, I think this is a really interesting one because a lot of people speak about this, being comfortable with being still and ruminating in those thoughts. Mm. But I found if I do that, occasionally it can lead to a positive outcome, but it doesn't currently at this phase. If I sit with it, it doesn't serve me.
Yeah.
For how long do you sit and let it ruminate before it becomes a problem? Because that's the other thing. Do you distract, or do you just sit with it? Because essentially, all of these fun little fixes and goals, they could be seen as a distraction, but also, that's what life is, right?
Yeah. Do you ever meditate in any way? Do you ever, and when I say meditate, I mean in the classic way of meditating, you're sitting quietly with your own thoughts, closing your eyes and clearing your head and trying to be present. Can you do that? Because I really can't. I've tried.
I've chosen not to do it because I find I do it when I move through yoga.
Yeah.
So for me, currently, that's my meditation.
So that was my point. It's like everybody has to find that thing that allows them space to sort of not consume themselves by their thoughts. And I find that a physical exercise is what I can do. That's the best way of me being present because I'm not suddenly thinking about work. I'm not suddenly thinking about the million things that I should be doing. I'm just thinking about the next rep, or I'm thinking about the next tree that I've got to run to. I'm thinking about the next press up that I've got to do. I'm thinking about the next punch that I'm going to throw.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel most present, physically and mentally as well. That's the escape.
So what are we saying to this sitting and sitting with your thoughts? Because I think that it's quite a confusing one for people that are physically A-type, whether it's a good thing or not. It's quite an interesting topic, that.
The part of me that loves a challenge sort of feels like I would thrive, or I do thrive at pushing myself to try and do it. I'm just not very good at it. I find it very hard to switch off. If someone's saying to me, you've got to clear your mind, you've got to imagine you're on a beach, you've got to do all those things, within 2 seconds, I've got half an eye open. I'm looking around the room thinking, is everybody else thinking this is a little bit strange? And okay, oh no, close my eyes. Like, you're on the beach. It's a blue sky, you're a blue sky. Was that a car that went past? Oh my goodness, I've just remembered that I've got to get there. What is this going to finish in time? And my thoughts run away with me. So I find it very hard to slow down from that perspective. Something that I really want to be able to do a bit more.
When you go on holiday, say you take a week out, are you able to tune in and be present? Or are you already thinking about the next week, getting from job A to job B, and whether you can fit in that hour?
If you speak to Annie, she will tell you I'm a nightmare on holiday because I don't find it easy to just to chill out, because actually that's not where I'm happiest. I think holidays are about sort of putting yourself in an environment where you are enjoying yourself the most you can do. Yeah. And where I enjoy myself the most is being away with friends, jumping around the pool with the boys, playing golf with the boys, going out, exploring things, pushing myself. That's when I'm happiest.
Okay, so we're not going to find you on a lay flat holiday in the Maldives.
I love the idea. And here's always the thing. I always love the idea of sitting on a sunbed, a sun lounger.
Yeah.
On a beautiful beach. I always love the idea, but I think it would last maybe half an hour before.
No.
But I'd be like,
you're worse than me then.
I'd be like, Annie, should we play bat and ball? You've got some snorkel. Should we go in the water? And I'll be like that. And what can we do? No. Can we go?
You're like a puppy dog.
Yeah. So she's always been brilliant because like that's not your sort of, so if we go anywhere,
yeah,
there's got to be things like a tennis courts or paddle courts or pickle courts or golf courses, yeah, or swimming pools or gyms or activities.
Yeah.
So I can be busy and she can lie still and she, yeah, can read or she can just chill out. But I am very conscious that part of, we have too many people on the show, I speak to too many people that extol the virtue of that as a way of relaxing, of clearing your mind, of growing and, yeah, understanding sort of purpose. For me not to think, there's something in this, I just need to find my way of getting there. Right now, I'm pretty hopeless at it.
It's not for everyone. And
no.
A lot of people say to me, do you not just want to chill out? Do you not just want to relax? I'm like, well, yeah, occasionally I flop. Yeah, we can't maintain this pace all the time, right? Also, flopping doesn't serve me.
No. Yeah.
So it serves everyone differently. And I think that's a message that almost should be retracted about just doing nothing. Why is doing nothing good?
Well, it depends, and you're absolutely right.
It depends on the person.
Depends on who you are and actually what recharges your batteries.
Yeah.
Doing nothing, I worry that I'm wasting time. I get very conscious of, like today, for example, yeah, very efficient, busy day, which I've loved and it's fantastic. And I worry sometimes that if I don't have stuff in my diary, don't have stuff to do, if I don't have, yeah, stuff organised, then I'm wasting time.
Do you thrive on that schedule?
Yeah.
Do you love it? Like a day like today, you're like, boom, let's get out.
I'm so much better when things like that are organised. So much better. I enjoy working hard. I enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy seeing, I love being around people that are going to sort of keep me inspired. And part of this thing about turning 50 is I didn't want to sort of get to my 50s and kind of go, well, that's it now. Okay, so physically I can't keep up with what I used to be, so I'm going to stop trying. Or mentally I'm not going to, so I'm going to stop trying. And I think that that's become all the more apparent. For me, I can still compete with the sort of 38-year-old self that was on in 2012 that did the men's health shoot. Like, I might be more susceptible to injury,
yeah,
than I was back then. And I might have to make more concessions for what I can and can't do. But I can still do it. I can still push myself. I can still thrive in under those sort of circumstances. I do genuinely, though, believe that at some point, as I wind those challenges down, or my parameters change slightly, and I really appreciate that what I want to be able to do is carry on doing as much as I can for as long as I can,
yeah,
but what the amount that I can do will slow down. But I'll be happy because I can still get out and play golf with the boys, or I can still go and meet my friends, and I can still sort of play, and we can still go boxing, and we can still do those bits and pieces. I just might need a little bit more time in between
the recovery. Yeah. I'm slowly learning.
You've still got decades to go though, so you'll be fine. I mean,
it's okay, Ben, you set the pace and I'll just follow suit. Yeah.
You'll be exceeding the pace in no time. I mean, it's like you and your mum going and doing the marathon. It's like you just went and did it.
Yeah,
right?
That's now, great.
Yeah. But I think that
Mama Fuller's good inspo. She didn't start running until she was, I reckon, like 45, and she used to just run like 2 miles, and then suddenly, like, boom, 2 to 26.2.
Sensational.
It's a mindset, right?
Yeah. And I came to understand that I've done a number of challenges. I think we talked about this last time, and I did sort of,
you've done a lot of physical,
a lot of marathons and bits and pieces with some really good friends raising money for an amazing cause. So we did 7 in 7 days. We sort of cycled across the country, then ran back. And mindset is everything, because it was, yes, it was really, really physically painful. It was physically demanding, but it was all doable. It's just mentally much tougher than it is physically.
What would you say to someone approaching their 50s that maybe is in a bit of a slump?
Yeah.
They've been doing too much flopping, flying and flopping, or just generally flopping, to inspire them to get up and just start.
The hardest step is the first.
Okay.
Right? The hardest step, without doubt, is the first. But once you make that first step, everything else is so much easier. And you'll be amazed at what you can achieve if you set your mind to it. I'd say, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Start with small goals. Set yourself a little challenge. It doesn't have to be enormous. It might just be, I'm going to put my trainers on and I'm going to walk around the block. I'm actually going to sort of try and keep an eye on what I'm eating this week. I'm not going to drink quite as much as I was going to drink. But set yourself a small challenge. And then, and the other thing I think that's really, really important is constantly look back at how far you've come. So if you set yourself a little challenge and you go, right, I'm going to walk around the block. By the end of the week, I'm going to see if I can go around the block three times. That challenge grows. And then you look back and you kind of, because we don't realize, I don't think, how far you've come. When I did this, the Fit of 50 thing, I had 50 days to my 50th birthday. When I started, I was in a certain shape. And of course, when I finished, or when I got to my 50th, I was in completely different shape.
Peak Nick, but fighting weight.
But I was charting it. And for those first couple of weeks, you don't see much difference. And it can get a little bit sort of demoralizing. Yeah. And you're thinking, oh, I'm not getting anywhere. But suddenly 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks in, you look back and go, goodness me, actually, I can start seeing a difference. And then that becomes motivating. That so set yourself small goals, track your progress and keep an eye on it. Don't give up just because it's getting hard. But also give yourself a bit of space as well. Don't put yourself under too much pressure.
I think that's the key. It's removing the pressure.
So many people start and go, right, January, I'm going to get fit. And of course, it falls away from after the first month because everyone puts themselves under too much pressure in January. Start before January, start slowly and build up to it. Let it sneak up on you and chart where you're getting as well. Chart your progress. I found charting my progress was one of the most motivating things because when I was able to look back, I was like, wow, hold on a sec. So 3 weeks, that's how far I've come with that.
And 3 weeks is such a short
time. Oh, it's no time at all.
It's mad.
When you start and you're putting your trainers on, you're going for your first run, 3 weeks seems like months away, but it flies by. And then all of a sudden you're 5 weeks, it's all of a sudden I've turned 50. Now we're in April now.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of approaching 50 almost and approaching half a year after. I mean, it seems so surreal. I've actually turned 50. Because 50 feels like such an old age. I don't feel any older than I was when I was 19 or 20.
It's just not though now.
No,
it's
I think
changed,
it's
changed,
yeah.
Hasn't
yeah,
it?
Totally.
I don't see it as old in the slightest. I see 70 as old.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'd like to think, give me 20 years and 70 won't feel old. You know, I'd like to think I'll still be able to come down and
ski.
Do a boxing session or
ski
with you, James, or you know, go for a run. I mean, who knows whether I will or not. But I'd like to hold on to that. And if I want to be able to do that, I know now is when I've got to put some work in.
And the hope and mindset towards that is everything. If you don't aspire to it, it won't happen.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a constant.
But you will get there. That's my point, I think you were saying. You can make changes. You can make a difference. You've got to trust yourself. You've got to give yourself a little bit of breathing space. Don't expect too much too soon, but be consistent. One of my really good mates is a couple of years younger than me at school, and he now works in telly, and he's done some amazing things, James. He's worked all over the world. James Corden's producer out in America and all that sort of stuff. And he said to me, we play football together, and he said, what's been the most important exercise, the best exercise you think you did, Ben, when you were doing your fit at 50? And I said, James, it wasn't an exercise. It wasn't a pull-up. It wasn't a burpee. It wasn't any muscle-up. It wasn't any of those things. It was just being consistent, turning up, making myself do something, even if it was the smallest thing. And it's amazing how powerful consistency is.
And especially turning up after those nights.
Yeah.
Or those, you know, whether you're out drinking, eating, whatever it might be, it's still showing up the next day.
Busy because you've had no sleep, because you've worked really late and you're up really early or whatever's going on.
Nice.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So true. Talk to me about New Zealand.
You've spent
quite a bit of time down there. And I'm also intrigued as to how in an environment like that do you fit in your wellness? Because a lot of people say they're busy, they're working, there's no time. Your schedule is hectic. Put travel in the mix?
So I went out to New Zealand to film a new show for ITV that's coming out later on in the year called The Summit. 14 people climbing a mountain together. Reality TV show set on the side of a mountain. It was extraordinary. I love New Zealand. You've been to New Zealand?
I have, yeah.
It's my favourite country in the world. We were down in the South Island.
Whereabouts?
We were about 45 minutes west of Queenstown.
Nice.
Tiny little, I mean, it's not even a town, a village called Glenorchy by the Southern Alps.
Stunning.
And I was out there for 3.5 weeks. And interestingly, my schedule suddenly stopped. I was hosting the show So I wasn't on the mountain climbing with them. So I got flown in to various parts of the mountain and flown home. So taking a helicopter most days to work, which was extraordinary.
Casual, no biggie bag.
But also they were also flying up Portaloos as well and things like that. Right. Yeah.
Like,
so I'd get delivered with the toilets.
And back.
And it was extraordinary, but I suddenly had a lot more time. If I wasn't on the mountain, then we'd be down sort of planning what we were doing, or I had time. I sort of made sure I kept my fitness up, my regime, because I was really enjoying it. So I found a gym I could train in, I found some people I could run with.
Nice.
And found all that sort of experience. And actually just being in that environment, and you know, it's the most epic country. I don't think epic even does it justice. It's the most epic country in terms of landscape.
Oh, visually, there's nowhere else like
it. It's so inspiring.
So that's not a great example in that case, because you were granted time to actually be able to
train. Yeah, but you know, that's an interesting thing, because my daily schedule, my life over here is suddenly more hectic. I found it harder to process because I suddenly had all this time on my hand. Ah. Because I'd go up first thing in the morning, I'd go up in the late afternoon, and we'd be busy occasionally, but it was more sporadic. And then suddenly you'd have a few hours during the day, like, and some days they'd be like, no, we don't need you today. I think, oh, what am I going to do today? Well, a whole day. So you go and sort of do a bit of exploring, or that was an extraordinary experience just to sort of be part of a production of that scale. It was approaching my 50th birthday and I'd never done anything like that. That was really exciting just from a professional perspective.
Yeah.
Just to sort of go, wow, I'm still discovering new things professionally that I haven't been able to do in the past, that still sort of bewilders me. You know, the scale of what we were doing and how they did it, and the way the production team worked, and the camera crews were extraordinary, and the drone pilots, they're flying these drones. The skill of the people around me was unbelievable.
Producer, filmer John right now is listening to this thinking, you've not seen me on a pair of skis.
I'm filming backwards down the hill while you're going there.
Going off the jumps.
Well, I mean, you know, these guys were, and it's just such a privilege to be working alongside people at the top of their game that I'm creating. They've got to create a TV show on the side of a mountain in all rain, wind, sunshine, snow, sleet. The terrain was crazy steep or really slippery. And they're still working 24/7 making this TV show. It was one of the most exciting things I've ever done in that sort of environment. And yet you're the other side of the world, away from everything else. Really gives you time to think.
Yeah, thinking time.
Right? Yeah. Which I'm not great with, that we've already discussed.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing when you travel. You either have so much time or not enough time.
Yeah.
And then you're in that void. Especially it's different when it's work versus holiday.
Yeah.
Of course, because you're still like on, acutely aware that you might need to be somewhere, but at the same time there's like a void of almost waiting for you to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
I find when I'm away working, and I suppose that's where the running, the yoga, like that's your time.
Yeah, I think the thing about running as well that I always love about, if you go somewhere and you're away for work, it's a brilliant way of exploring a place and getting to know a small town or a city or whatever.
It's the
first
best.
Thing often I do is put my trainers on and say, right, where am I? Let me get my bearings.
Yeah.
It's just jaw-dropping. There's a series, I'm not sure whether you've seen it, but some of your podcast viewers and listeners may know Top of the Lake.
Okay.
Was a series that was filmed in Glenorchy. It's this strange little town that's at the top of Lake Wakatipu, which is just sort of what Queenstown just sits on the edge of. There's a hotel, there's a couple of hotels, there's a coffee shop, and then there's a dumpling shop because they get a lot of Chinese tourists. And other than that, there's a school and it's just a crisscross of roads and that's about it. And it's right at the top of the lake. And then beyond that is the Southern Alps in New Zealand. So it's sort of, it's one of those places where you feel like people have sort of gone there to hide or be there for some reason. They're either helicopter pilots or they've just sort of got to the end of New Zealand and they've stopped.
How interesting.
So it's a fascinating environment.
I bet you met some really unique people.
Awesome group of people that are all sort of a real melting pot of people from different cultures and different backgrounds that have come there. And the production team that we're working on, lots of Australians and Kiwis as well, they're just so up for it.
So what can we expect from this new series, Ben? Can you give us a little sneak peek?
So I guess the best way, so it's kind of a mixture of Traitors meets SAS Who Dares Wins.
Wow.
Yeah, so the contestants are going up, the climbers are going up the mountain, 14 of them have never met, all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different shapes and sizes and fitnesses, And as they go up the mountain, they're faced with these extraordinary physical challenges that they've got to try and achieve to keep going. And then as they go as well, they will get voted off the mountain as they go. So not all of them will, or not all of them will make it to the top, but the ones that do will get a share of the prize money if they can get to the summit.
And when is it out?
It'll be out later on in the year on ITV. Nice. I'm very excited for people to see it because we just had...
It's big, huh?
Yeah, and we had the most extraordinary time making it. And I just really want to feel like we've done New Zealand justice and the team justice and the contestants, the guys and girls that took part in this show were so brave to come and do it and take it on. And the journey that they go on, like metaphorically and physically, is something that I've never seen before. It was awesome.
Would you take it on?
I'd love to do it. The one concession to under 50 that I won't go is I'm not massively into camping anymore, Ames. I quite like a nice bed and some hot and cold running water.
What? I can definitely agree with you on that one.
And they honestly, by the end of it, the ones that got to the very top, because the only thing they can wash in glacial lakes, right?
So grotty.
Well, or freezing cold water. They've got to wash in freezing cold water.
Oh, no.
You know, and it's a 14-day trek from bottom to top to the summit.
Oh, wow.
You know, that gets relentless.
Did you have to get near them?
Yeah.
They were absolutely bogging.
There were one or two of them, you just had to make sure you stood upwind of them.
You know what my pet hate is? Smelly hair. I bet there was some seriously smelly hair.
They were living on a mountain for 2 weeks, climbing the most extraordinary terrain, faced with some of the most brutal conditions you would ever imagine.
Respect.
Yeah, absolutely. My hat was certainly doffed to every single one of them for taking it on.
Wow. Ben, we are on the Monday Mile podcast, so we'd like to ask all of our guests whether they like a Monday or not.
So you asked me that last time.
I know, that's why I
and sort I think I vaguely remember saying no, I didn't necessarily. I think my attitude has changed significantly.
And
I
don't know whether you've got a lion now.
Well, yeah, every day is a lion.
6 a.m.
Yeah, every day is a lion. It's 3 hours, Ames. Every day feels like a lion. And I think, I feel like having turned 50.
Are you 50, by the way? Did you just turn 50?
I get a lot of grief from my boys for that. Can you stop banging on about it now, Dad? It's really boring.
You wear it with pride. It's okay. We'll let you have it.
But I think that sort of I've sort of recalibrated that as well. And I kind of feel like the start of the week is a fresh way of getting going. Get your shoes on. Get your kit on, get to work, see what the week brings.
Have you got your work shoes on first thing, or we?
Work shoes in the studio. The studio shoes are a bit posher than this.
Roll in like that.
Yeah. But I think I do like Mondays now. I never did as a kid. I hated Mondays. Sundays, I had the Monday fears. Sunday night, hated. But these days, I like the start of a new week. Fresh page. New chance. Who knows what's coming?
New slate.
Yeah.
Keep chasing those goals.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got half a year to go till 51.
Slow down. Let's not rush these things.
And lastly, Ben, do you have a life motto or quote that you live by currently that you can share with our listeners to inspire them?
There's a quote that I really, really love, which I think I maybe used last time, but it was 15 years ago, so I can use it again.
Let's be honest, nobody's listened to that recently other than me half a bit last night.
Which I love, which is the horror of every agony is the fear of its anticipation. Which for me is all about understanding that, you know, the idea of having to do something is far worse than the reality of doing it.
That is so true.
And if you can sort of process that, whether it's a really horrible decision you've got to make, a conversation you've got to have, speech you've got to do, exam you've got to take, High Rocks challenge, marathon, it's the anticipation of it is terrifying. The actual doing of it is way less. And then there's another really simple thing that I think one of my sports teachers said to me once that came back to me the other day, and we were talking to somebody, and it was, if you don't shoot, you don't score.
So true.
You know, and it's a very simple phrase, but it has so much meaning and it's pretty pertinent at times.
We must keep shooting, Ben.
If you want to score.
Oh, I want to score. We're going to keep scoring. Ben Shepherd, thank you so much for joining me on our second ever Monday Mile.
It's been a pleasure, Amy.
It's been such a joy to walk and talk with you, and honestly, such an inspiration to just hear your drive. I remember coming away from the last mile feeling incredibly fueled and whole, and it's been exactly the same, if not better.
Ah, thank you.
Monday Mile listeners, you know what to do. Do make sure you are subscribed to the audio. It drops every single Monday morning at 12 a.m. for the early risers. So if you do have that 3 a.m. alarm, you know where to find us. Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap.